Would you please stand as you are able for this reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians? For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation." May God's Spirit add richly to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated.
Sometimes we get turned around and end up going in the wrong direction. And I mean this literally. There are times when I am driving and I get turned around and I end up going the wrong direction. This last Saturday, I had a meeting to go to at a church in Olathe. And as I was going, I really was confident that I knew where I was headed. Unfortunately, I hadn't actually been to this church before, and I didn't have written directions, but I thought I'd figure it out. The problem is this church is a church that has two locations. They have their church building, and they also have a second location, which is their outreach center. So I'm driving, and I get really close, and I notice that there are no cars in the parking lot. And I get there, plenty of time for my meeting, but no one's there because I've gone to the wrong location. And not only did I go to the wrong location, but then I really had no idea where the other location was. I thought maybe it's on Ridgeview, and I sort of know where that is, so I decided I was going to try it out. So I got in my car and went to Ridgeview Road and started driving down Ridgeview. I decided to go south, thinking that's where I was going, surely. This is my trusty sense of direction leading me south. But I drive and I drive, and a church would come up, and I would look, and it wasn't the church I was supposed to be at. And actually, there's this stretch on Ridgeview where there are a number of churches. And I would lean at the edge of my seat, hopeful, and it was never the right church. So at some point, I got so frustrated, and I pulled over, and I called one of my family members and asked them to look up the address for me. I was 50 blocks south of where I needed to be. That just happens to us sometimes. Has this ever happened to you in your car? But has it ever happened to you in your life? There are times where we get turned around and we are going the wrong direction. We heard powerful words from the book of Joel. These are God's words brought through the prophet. "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on God's holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness." Doesn't sound very good. But this is the word of the Lord as it comes to the prophet Joel. The people of Israel are in a bit of trouble. Their land is inhabited by other people, and they turn to God for help, but they haven't really been paying attention to God very much to this point in time. They've been going in the wrong direction. And so God brings this message to them. It's a message that they need to get their act together. "The day of the Lord is coming," it says. The day of the Lord, that's the judgment day. It's a reminder for the people to be reconciled to God. There are many times in Scripture where we're reminded of the day of the Lord. In Mark 13, Jesus tells the disciples to be on guard, to watch. They don't know the hour that it will happen. And so this is a message to us today on Ash Wednesday. Just as it's a message to the people to be reconciled to God, it's a message to us to return to God. Just as they are told to return to God with all their heart, we also are to return to God with all of our heart, with fasting and weeping, with sincerity. As we read this scripture, we are reminded that our lives will also come to an end. Maybe it's on the day of the Lord and Christ's second coming, but the likelihood is that it's probably before that. Each of us will encounter that day. Today, as I was on my lunch break, I was out in the memorial garden here at the church, and I was looking at the places where many people have selected their final resting places. And I noticed the names. There are so many people from our congregation that experienced untimely deaths, deaths that were a surprise. We don't know when our life will end. Even tonight, we have ashes smudged on our forehead to remind us of our mortality. We are reminded that we are from the dust of the earth. And one day, to that dust, we will return, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. I imagine that some of you might be wondering why you're here tonight. It's not exactly the most cheerful service you've ever come to. Maybe you're here to find out what Ash Wednesday is all about. Maybe you haven't grown up with this holiday. Seems a little strange, but you're curious. Maybe you're like me, and you've come with some ideas about why you're here. But really, you've come hopeful that God will do something unexpected, something surprising, that you will meet God tonight in this place. As Adam opened the service with a few words about Ash Wednesday, he talked about the reason that this is a tradition in the church. And I kind of get into the traditions of the church. It's interesting to me why we do the things that we do. For a long time, Ash Wednesday has been a day that has been set aside for repentance and for confession. But it's a day of self-examination. Self-examination is something that we should actually do on a regular basis. It's part of a healthy spiritual life. But just in case we were to forget, we mark it on the calendar and call this day Ash Wednesday so that we don't pass the important mark of forgiveness or of repentance in our life. It's kind of like a day of spring cleaning. And if the call of Joel is correct, we cannot take our lives for granted. We don't know when the day of the Lord will come. And most of us want to be right with the Lord on that day. But the reality is that we need to be in right relationship with God every day of our lives, not just on our final day. And so we pursue God, but sometimes get in a little bit of trouble, just like the Israelites. But fortunately, we get a warning. I can almost hear God's warning coming to us in the more contemporary words of the rapper Ice Cube. He says, "You better check yourself before you wreck yourself." So he probably didn't exactly mean self-reflection and repentance of our sin, but the sentiment is the same. It's a call to figure out where our life is going before we get ourselves in trouble. And so we come to this day to do a little examination. There are times that, just like my driving, we've taken some wrong turns and gotten ourselves way off course. Sometimes our lives have ended up 50 blocks south of God's will. And so we come today trying to figure out the things in our life that may hurt others, the things that keep us from God. And we come to repent of those things. There are many forms of sin. There are certainly the sins that we are aware of, the attitudes and behaviors that we carry around with us. Most of us can write those down on a piece of paper. Maybe it's little white lies or telling excuses, things that make us look a little bit better. Other times it's passing on the opportunity to show love to someone, to encourage someone. Sometimes it's bad habits, lying and stealing, or sometimes other even more serious addictions. But sin can also be in our behaviors, or not only in our behaviors, but in our attitudes. It can be pride and a feeling that we are wonderful, but we are more wonderful than everyone else. And then that shapes the way that we live our lives. I know I struggle with being on time, and I don't know that being late in and of itself is a sin, but it often stems from a deep-seated thought that my time is the most important, that my schedule is somehow more important than the person that I'm to be meeting. But I know that there are some of you here tonight that carry your sins before you. You carry them out for the whole world to see, and actually maybe you even detest yourself. You are aware of your failure. You feel like no one loves you and no one should love you. And I want to say to you tonight, if that is you, that is not what God wants for you. That is not a repentant heart. God sets the bar pretty high. There are all sorts of sins that we struggle with. There are things that separate us from God. We build walls and barriers to keep other people out, but sometimes it's to keep God out. Sometimes it's just getting complacent and thinking that we're a really good Christian person, and we forget our need of God. There's a quote from Henry Nouwen that I think is especially meaningful. It says, "The one who thinks that they are finished is finished." How true. Those that think that they have arrived have lost their way. Those who think that they have reached their goal have missed it. Those that think that they are saints are demons. But sin isn't always just something that we experience as individuals. There's an idea of corporate sin, sin as all of the people, the body of Christ. And this manifests in many different ways. Sometimes it's the fact that we tolerate sexualized images of women on TV that teach our young girls that they have to be skinny and sexy to be loved. But likewise, for boys, there's this intense pressure that monetary success and being powerful in business is everything that you have to be if you are to be a good man. We're okay with that. Sometimes we actually add to that. We live in a very divisive political culture where people sling issues back and forth and demonize one another. Corporate sin is also the fact that the United States uses more resources per person than any other country in the world. We don't even think about that most of the time, but one day, if fuel or clean water or something runs out, we will have used the lion's share. Now, there's one thing that I know I could get in trouble for mentioning here, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm from this culture. I grew up a couple blocks away. But there are things that we do, there are things I do, that add to the just growing distance between the people that have a lot and the people that have nothing. Now, I could stop here, and all of us would be feeling a little squirmish or pretty bad about maybe our personal sin, or really just mad at me for bringing up some of these corporate sins that we think we have nothing to do with. But that's not the point of Ash Wednesday. We would all go home either angry or frustrated or full of guilt. And that's not what this is about. After the warning that is brought by the prophet Joel, the Lord gives the people an instruction. "Yet even now, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing." Rend your hearts. That means come and tear your hearts. Give me your hearts. The people used to do this with their clothing to show how sorry they were and how much they love God. God wants us to bring our hearts. The Hebrew word that is in this passage that is to return is a word that it means the same thing as repent. It has a really graphic meaning. In my Hebrew classes, my professor explained this to us. He said, to repent is to turn, not in a circle, and not just a little bit to the side, but to repent means to be walking in one way, to stop, and to turn the other direction and go back the direction that you are going away from. And we think about what this means for our lives. We think about the direction that we are heading. And if you're like me, sometimes your sense of direction needs a check. It's not quite right. So for us to repent means to assess the direction that we're moving, but also to turn around and to go in the direction that's towards God. last weekend as I got lost for my meeting. By the time that I pulled over and figured out how far I was really off course, by the time that I would have turned around and gone to the right place, I would have been so late for my meeting, it would have just been embarrassing. I couldn't have gone in. I would have caused a stir, and I would have looked bad, really. That would have been tough for me. But the reality is, with God, it's never too late. It's not too late to turn around and to go in the right direction. There's no time limit on God's grace. There's no limit on God's forgiveness. And I hope that reaches deep into your heart today. That as we come on Ash Wednesday, there's promise in the ashes. That it's not just about remembering that we will die. We need to do that. We need to be repentant and remember that our lives have a limit. But we also remember that there is promise in the ash. That when we come to confess, God absolutely will forgive us. That's what Christ's life was all about. The life and death and resurrection of Christ means something. It means something for our lives, and it means something for us tonight. The words of 2 Corinthians were read. They remind us that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. We can become made new. Christ will make us new. So as you come forward to receive the mark of ashes, remember your finitude and your mortality and be repentant. But also take great comfort in the fact that God will not only forgive you, but God will make you new and will give you the Spirit to sustain moving in a new direction. Paul continues in 2 Corinthians, "Be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him that knew no sin," talking about Jesus, "to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For he says, 'At an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on the day of salvation I have helped you.' See now is the acceptable time. See now is the day of salvation." So as we come to Lent and head towards Easter, let's be repentant and travel in God's direction, knowing the freedom and forgiveness that comes in a life following Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. The power of Christ is available for us all. Here in the power of Christ we stand. Will you pray with me? Lord, you know who we are, and you know where we've been going. And we know that many times our way is not what you look for. Our way is wrong. But Lord, we don't want to go in the wrong direction. And we are sorry. We repent. We turn around. We return to you. We need forgiveness, but God, we need newness. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and grant us a willing spirit, your Holy Spirit, that we might be sustained to move in a new direction. Holy God, thank you for loving us. Together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.